All right, we go to the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline, hook it up with our friend from Letterman Row. He is Tim May. Timothy, it's good to have you. We weren't sure whether the lines were crossed or what happened, but
well, it's a three-letter day in terms of that problem, but I think I'm ready to get it rectified, if you know what I'm saying, brother.
Absolutely. All right, let's get after this. Maddie and I believe that even though Ryan Day would have rather played a game last week, there is a silver lining here because you get to lock in, which they were able to do mentally, watch Indiana. The hunger's there. Indiana wins, which is great because then they get the top 10 ranking solidified. Do you think that there's how do you balance that Indiana kept playing and they're winning and Ohio State unexpectedly had a bye week? Any factor at all, positively or negatively?
Well, at this point, you know, it's sort of moot because it has happened. There's nothing you can do about it. But there are all kinds of ways you can look at it. You can look at it that Indiana moved to 4-0. You can look at the Indiana played offensively for about a quarter and a half at Michigan State, and it just sort of discombobulated after that. And, you know, but, of course, Ohio State remembers how it played in the second half against Rutgers 2 weeks earlier. It just shows you, you know, you got to play these games out. But, you know, if anything, I think it allowed Ohio State to get a little more healthy, maybe let bruises heal a little bit more. It's not that bad a break in terms of that. But for a team that's starving, you know, for games in this COVID-19 era, just when you had something sort of going, you know, you had to sit back down. So Ryan Day, you know, he has rolled with the punches as well, if not better, than I think any major college coach this year in terms of keeping his program aimed at the future and not at what they don't have, you know. And when it came time to demand to get to play, then they masked, you know, he helped mask the forces to make that happen. So I think you just roll with it. You know, you watch that game, you watch Indiana on video, and you see what I see. You see a team making some really big plays, especially in the passing game. You see it blitzing, stepping off the bus defensively. But you also see a team that if you can handle a couple of those challenges, you know, you probably can take care of business handily. And I think all the Ohio State players and coaches understand that maybe they are the better team, that the odds makers are right in terms of the spread, but you still got to go out there and do it, and you can't sleep on this team because they can make lightning happen any time with their passing game.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's kind of where I wanted to go, Tim, with you, was how are you feeling about that matchup? Because I think it's going to be a big-time factor in the outcome of this game. And you touched on the guys that they have and, you know, Wop Fillier and Fry Fogle and Hendershot at tight end. But your confidence that this Buckeye secondary and defense as a whole is going to step up and be able to slow these guys down tomorrow.
Well, I think that is the big test, you know, and the interesting thing, if you watch that, I watch too much football. Actually, my wife will tell you that. But if you watch Penix, you can get him a little bit off his game, a little bit off kilter, if you can definitely bring some pressure up the gut. You know, A gap. You know, maybe B gap. Just attack those areas relentlessly, and because he kind of loses his footwork and kind of loses his accuracy and everything else, and he throws some balls, some floaters, you know, that are sort of up for grabs, and even Michigan State found that out. But you got to do it on a consistent basis. I don't think Ohio State's going to shut out Indiana. They do. That would definitely be a feather in Ohio State's cap. But I think they have the wherewithal, especially with Haskell Garrett and Tommy Togiai, the guys in the middle, along with, you know, a blitz here and there from Tuff Borland and Pete Werner, and possibly rolling, Josh Proctor into that a little bit. Now, I think Josh Proctor is a wild card in this game. I may call him my money man again when we have our pregame show tomorrow at the Rotham Resort. Rotham Resort. But I think they can get to Penix, if not physically. Maybe rattle him a little bit. The question is whether Indiana can do the same to Justin Fields. We haven't seen anybody do that yet. And the stark stat in this game is that Indiana has 10 interceptions and Justin Fields has thrown zero. You know, can Indiana keep its run alive in that regard, or would Justin Fields uh, hold, hold sway. That's as interesting as there is going into this game, because they're going to bring pressure from all kinds of different ways. They always rush at least four. You just don't know who that fourth guy is going to be and where he's coming from. And oftentimes they rush five or six. So, holding back the forces while Justin Fields either runs out of there or stands in there and throws it will be key tomorrow, because there will be targets of opportunity without a doubt for the Ohio State offense.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I agree with your point about Penix. As good as he's been, as big as he is, and got some arm talent, you watch that game against Michigan State early on. I mean, the first one last week, it was just a lob play for a one-on-one guy off his back foot under pressure. He actually had a lane over the middle in the first half where he throws a pick in the red zone, in the end zone, just locked in on his guy. The only reason it didn't cost Indiana is because Lombardi was there to gift it right back to him.
And goodness, that was hard to watch, And then you watch the Michigan game, there were opportunities there for Michigan and Milton to take hold of that game, and they couldn't get it done, couldn't make the connection. So there you go.
The other part of this game that I think we're going to be looking at is, Indiana over the years, their offense has gone up. Their skill has gone up. They've always seemed to have a quarterback who can do something, and they've stayed with Ohio State over the years on the scoreboard to some degree. It's their defense that you knew would break eventually. And their defense tries to get their picks off of some blitz pressure, and they've got a pretty good DB in Mullen, the kid from Fort Lauderdale, and Jerome Johnson got a sack last week, McFadden. Mm-hmm. They lost Thomas Allen, the son of the coach, linebacker, emotional leader there. Tim, do you anticipate that Tom Allen feels that he can pick his poison in this game at all, or does he have to come after Fields and just take that gamble? That you only get real one shot at Ohio State when you're the ninth-ranked team in the country, and there are three. Do you think that Indiana has a gambler's mentality tomorrow, or is it more of, no, we believe we can play with them straight up and not sell out too much?
No, it's still the team that walked in off the street, into the casino, and has got to go for it. I mean, and definitely defensively, they're going to go for it. Their modus operandi is go for it on both sides of the ball. But Kane Womack, their defensive coordinator, called a ridiculously good game against Michigan a couple of weeks ago, and Michigan had a whole lot of trouble of holding them back and figuring out what was going on, and they couldn't even establish a running game. The thing that teams do anymore, and they've been doing this for a while, is they'll blitz to stop the run and then just keep coming, and that's what's really difficult if they gash you with the blitz. And a lot of times defensive lines, if you watch Indiana's defensive line, they'll be doing some stunning and looping and things like that, but they'll sometimes block for their blitzer, if you follow my drift. And that's what they've done a really good job, is getting a man free to the quarterback to make him either throw it, eat the football, or have to scramble out of there. And I expect them to come after, because that's their real shot against Ohio State. You gotta figure out a way to take Justin Fields off his game, because he and Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson, just like Penix Jr. and Freifogel and Filior, they've got something going on, Indiana's got to figure out a way to stop that.
All right, Tim, when Buckeye Nation slides over to Letterman Row Sunday morning, what will Tim May's headline read?
Oh, man.
And the hush falls over the crowd.
Ohio State's trio trumps Indiana's in big, as in B1G, big East showdown at Horseshoe Pass.
I think you saved it. I think you honestly saved it.
Yeah, Horseshoe Pass is
yes,
sweet.
That did it. It was heading down it was heading over the cliff. Back to the future.
You got the facts in there, though. The trio of
don't let facts mess you up.
The trio of Fields, Olave, and Wilson fellas, that's about as good as it's ever been. And there's been some good ones at Ohio State, but that's about as potent as it's ever been. And if you can throw a running game, and Ohio State's averaging over 200 yards rushing, so they do have a rushing game. But if you can throw a potent – if you can get Master Teague III on track or Trey Sermon – You know, I'm telling you, we're watching one of the great offenses in Ohio State history.
All right, but hey, 8:30 we start tomorrow.
I was going to have Biden time and Trump's in the same headline, but I ditched that one.
All right. Bring your game tomorrow on the air and in the simulator. All right. We'll see you at 8:30.
Hey, I'm bringing my own driver tomorrow. BYOD, bro.
No more drivers. We don't have enough spackle for the walls over here.
Hey, Anthony.
Yeah. All right.
See you, man.
Hey, let me tell you, foul balls in golf are not good. In baseball, you still get a chance.
What goes up must come down.
Yeah. Except the golf ball that's impaled into the wall. That's not coming down. All right. You're right. Keep
see you, man.
Keep it down. All right. Bye.